observance. Nowadays, it's an absolute miracle if a person is faithful in church at all and tries to do anything at all for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's something we really appreciate, my family and I traveling around, is seeing that the faithful are still here in the United States of America, and seeing why it is that he hasn't dropped the hammer yet on us, on this nation. So you stay in your place. You stay where you're supposed to be as the Lord leads you, and he will, maybe he'll extend his hand of mercy even more so that we can continue to do as a nation and as the body of Christ in this nation what we're supposed to be doing, which is reaching the rest of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. This country may have written off Jesus Christ and the Bible, but there are a lot of other people in the world who are still interested in having the truth because they got nothing else. And so they want to hear the truth. And as the pastor pointed out this morning at the other church, he said 90% of the missionary effort and money comes out of this country. That's probably a low-end estimate. And it's something we need to keep doing and reaching the uttermost part of the earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I'll introduce myself. I'm Philip Robinson, missionary on deputation to the Republic of Chile in South America. Now, before I go any further, I'll get the pronunciation thing out of the way. I say Chile because if you speak Spanish or if you're Latin American, that's the proper pronunciation for the word. However, if you're just a regular American from Lowell, Indiana, or thereabouts, it is just Chile. So don't sweat the pronunciation. Of course, the bad news is there's no chili down in Chile. There aren't even any chili peppers down in Chile. But it does get chilly down in Chile. And that's what I'm going to try to show you in this slide presentation. We're called to the people of the south of the country, way south. They say, south of the world, there's a whole nother world. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ has directed us to for a multiplicity of reasons. But primarily among them, and what I'm going to try to impress on you through this presentation, is the burden that he put upon us when we visited the country, which was that we visited a portion of the country that comprises probably half of the landmass, 1,500 miles of a 2,700-mile-long country, the southern end of the country, maybe about 20% of the population, somewhere between 3 and 4 million people. And in that entire area, we were able to find only one independent Baptist church of any kind. And that really broke my heart to see that no one was even making an effort there. In central Chile right now, there are several independent Baptist missionaries who are doing the right thing, who are leading souls to Christ, starting New Testament churches, and following their Lord Jesus Christ's orders in the New Testament. Thank God for it. There's a need there, and it is being met. But sadly, those of us who have the truth and know what to do with it, which is to take it to the lost, have forgotten that southern Chile is even there. There are no independent Baptist churches. There aren't even really any good, solid churches of any other denomination. They're all just mainstream and pretty much just a religious observance or a social club. And it's a real tragedy that no one's making the attempt. I'm going to show you these people, the kind of people that they are in the slide presentation, and the kind of open door that's there. And hope to pass along to you some of the burden that's upon us. We have a display table, as you've probably seen already. If you haven't, please do stop by and pick up a prayer card and take it with you, put it somewhere prominent, and whenever you get an opportunity, even if it's only 20 or 30 seconds, please do pray for us, folks. My family and I, we really need your prayers. Even more so, you will understand after you hear me speak during this presentation. But we really need the prayers, folks, and I know for a fact, in the 13 years that I've been saved, if it wasn't for the prayers of God's people, I would not be standing before you right now. And your prayers are much more powerful than you might realize. So please, pray for your missionaries. Yes, money is important. Yes, support is important. Those things are significant. But I've also learned that if I can get God's people praying for me, there is nothing that God cannot do through me. There is no resource that he cannot move to make happen what he wishes to have happen. And your prayers can move that power to do just that. Amen. All right. We like to start with this picture because it was taken in that church, that one independent Baptist church in all of southern Chile, South America. We are the Robinson family. I'll introduce my wife and daughter, my lovely wife Brenda, and our 10-year-old daughter Rosalind. We are a missionary family on deputation to go to the Republic of Chile, planning to be there in October of this year after what will have been 18 months of full-time deputation. I like to emphasize that we're a missionary family because oftentimes there's a perception that it's just the man who's the missionary with the calling, and he's kind of dragging his family around across the ends of the earth, wherever it is that they have to go to be subjected to him in a part of his life. I'd like to say that my wife and daughter such missionaries to the souls in southern Chile as I am. The Lord Jesus Christ has called us together as a family, burdened us together, and sent us all along the way together. We've made some changes here at the end of our deputation time in an effort to expedite our departure, get things done by dividing the crew up for a short time. But Lord willing, we'll be there in October, and my wife and daughter will have as important a part, if not more important in service of testimony, in reaching the hearts of the people in southern Chile. We serve with Bible Baptist Mission out of Pensacola, Florida. Now the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to be witnesses unto him, and to preach his gospel in what is truly the uttermost part of God's inhabited earth, the Republic of Chile in South America. Now, for those of you who don't know, Chile is the long, thin country here in red at the southwestern corner and tip of the South American continent. It's approximately 2,700 miles long, rarely ever more than 100 miles wide. And you can see from this geographically accurate slide why we consider Chile to be a fulfillment, especially in the south, of the uttermost parts of the earth. Because when you're in Tierra del Fuego down here at the southern tip of South America, you're only about 600 miles from Antarctica. Now, Chile is a Spanish-speaking nation of approximately 16 million souls, a country that is largely educated, 95% or better literacy rate, an advanced modern economic powerhouse, and a first-world country in just about every respect, and of course a nation that is largely and staunchly Roman Catholic. Through the scriptures and the circumstances in our lives, and with much good counsel and prayer and fasting, the Lord Jesus Christ has opened a door for us to go to southern Chile, which is about a 1,500-mile stretch of land running from about here to here. And in December of 2002, we took a survey trip to the city of Puerto Montt here and visited the cities of Valdivia, Osorno, Ancud, Castro, and Punta Arenas, the so-called city at the end of the world because of its location down there at the bottom tip of South America. Now, because of its great length, Chile enjoys much in the way of natural beauty and contrast, ranging from the world's driest desert in the north, the Atacama Desert, through the lush and fertile Central Valley region, from whence come Chile's world-famous produce and wines, down through the volcanic lake district. There are over 2,000 volcanoes in the Republic of Chile, and many of them are active. Of course, the Andes mountain range spans and forms the entire eastern border of the country. This is the world's longest and second highest mountain range. Down through the frigid Antarctic conditions of the deep south, where it's much like Scandinavia or Norway, with ice fields and glaciers and fjords and icebergs. Now, the Chilean people, like their country, are naturally beautiful souls. They're very quiet-spirited, very humble people. They're very cheerful and generous, very easily approached by just about anyone, including a complete stranger, and with just about anything, including the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet at the same time, they're quite proud and dignified because of their national heritage. This is a Native American Chilean, a Mapuche Indian. There is a significant population of Mapuche Indians in the south of Chile. The Chilean nation, like other South American countries, has a cowboy culture. And the Chilean cowboy is called the huaso. And his sport, which is the rodeo, is officially Chile's national sport. Of course, because Chile is a Spanish-speaking South American nation, the true national sport and national passion is the game of football, or what we call soccer here in the United States. And the Chileans are just as fanatical about this game as any other country you've ever heard of anywhere in the world. It's an immensely popular game there, and I know of at least two missionaries in central Chile who have used this game to lead Chilean youth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the other long-standing and dominating institution in all of South America, with the Republic of Chile being no exception, is the Roman Catholic Church. For over 500 years now, the Roman religion has firmly controlled the spiritual thinking and lives of the Chilean peoples. I'm going to show you pictures here of various Catholic church buildings in towns and cities throughout southern Chile that we visited, with populations ranging from 20,000 souls all the way up over 165,000 souls. And in none of these places is there any kind of independent Baptist church or Bible-believing missionary or ministry or true New Testament active soul-winning work going on. This sanctuary in this picture is the sanctuary of Mary, our helper, dedicated, of course, to the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary. That's because the Chileans, as Roman Catholics, are exceedingly Mariolatrous, perhaps more so than most other Catholic countries and cultures you may be aware of, to the point where Mary really is the god that the Chileans worship. Images of her will be found everywhere throughout the country because that's who they go to, that's who they adore. Of course, in the church buildings, in the residential neighborhoods, even out in the woods far away from civilization of any kind, one can find shrines to Mary for the devoted Chileans to stop and worship along the way. Here's the poster on the side of a church building declaring that it is the month of Mary. And going even further down at the bottom is to have a prayer in Spanish that says, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who resort to thee. And besides all of the other blasphemies that are contained in such a prayer, the thee at the end of that sentence is capitalized, because that's a very clear and accurate statement of how the Chileans look at things. They consider the Roman Virgin Mary to be deity, and to be in fact the only God that they need to pray to. This, unfortunately, is the image that dwells in the Chilean heart and mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, a broken, bleeding, defeated, dead figure who in fact needs assistance from this Roman Catholic tradition to hold him up and to help him. And what the Chilean people, especially in southern Chile, need more than anything else is for someone to go to them and proclaim the real, risen, almighty Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Who is alive right now, seated on the right hand of God, and is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. The Bible says that he has all power in heaven and earth right now, and he certainly doesn't need any assistance from some Roman Catholic fable.
Amen.
Now, most Chileans, particularly in the south, and certainly by American standards, are a poor people, with about 70% of the population down there earning the equivalent of around $300 US per month. So it's not at all uncommon to see horse and oxen drawn vehicles in the streets of the towns and cities. Chile, however, as I said earlier, is not a third world nation by any stretch of the imagination. Hardly even a second world nation. As things stand in South America right now, they probably got the most advanced and stable and prosperous and opportunity-laden economy. They have a modern, peacefully elected, democratic-style government, much like the one we have here in the United States. A very stable people politically, intellectually, emotionally, and socially. They, of course, aspire to be just like America, as does the rest of the world. Of course, the Chileans are succeeding in their aspiration. And they've imported all the Western niceties like cable TV, cell phones, internet, satellite, Blockbuster chain video stores in some of the cities. Some of the local convenience stores even have to go video just in an effort to keep up. And what's happening is that as Chile becomes a modern westernized nation like America, the false gods of materialism and covetousness, of course, will creep in to the society and into the hearts of the people and do to them exactly what they've done here in the United States. Now, this is a plaza. A plaza is a large, open, central park-type area, one of which will be found in every town and city in Chile, and large crowds of people will be found gathered in these throughout every hour of the day. Of course, just about anywhere that you go in Chile at any time of day, there's always a large crowd of people out and about, milling around, doing something. There's certainly not an inside people, as you can see here in this open market in the city of Valdivia. Amongst these crowds, lots of young people. Chile has a very young population, and everywhere that we went throughout the country, there were kids all over the place, even on school days, and I think that's because they run their public school system in shifts. There is even a possibility you can pray about for us of getting into the public schools and actually teaching the Bible in a classroom situation and planting seeds for the Lord Jesus Christ that way. Of course, a dedicated personal worker could spend an entire lifetime in ministry just out in the streets working amongst these crowds, passing out tracts, leading people to Christ, and even holding street meetings and preaching on the street, things which are much more well received in Chile than they are here in the United States, and against which there are no legal restrictions in the country. There's another crowd that one will encounter in Chile. That's crowds and crowds of stray dogs. It's estimated that between 2 and 3 million stray dogs roam the streets of the towns and cities, and it's a problem that nobody does anything about. Now, we know that the Bible likens false prophets and false teachers to dogs and to wolves. And because of the great religious liberty which exists in Chile, which is, yes, a blessing, unfortunately, there is no shortage of that crowd either. Because every town and city that we visited where there are no independent Bible-believing churches, there are Mormon churches, lots of Mormon churches. They're out in the street doing their proselyting thing. Every town and city, again, that we visited, there were Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Halls for the people that adhere to this religion, as there are Seventh-day Adventist churches and Pentecostal and Charismatic churches, very shape and type and form that you can imagine, and some you probably can't even imagine. This is a Pentecostal Methodist church on the island of Chiloé in the town of Ancud. Again, a population in this town of over 40,000 eternal souls. And there is no Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching, soul-winning church, but there is a Pentecostal Methodist church. The Christian Missionary Alliance has an established presence in southern Chile. Thankfully, even the Gideons have managed to get their Bibles as far south as the hotel rooms in Punta Arenas. In fact, it seems that from a Christian or spiritual perspective, the only thing that the people in southern Chile really lack is for somebody who actually believes that book to open it up and to preach it to them. Even the Eastern religions have wasted no time at all in going to the uttermost part of the earth. Unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons. This is a Hindu temple that we saw in the Straits of Magellan at the southern tip of South America. Right now in Chile, there is an independent Baptist church within 1,000 miles of that place. Now, while we were in Punta Arenas, we saw a strange sight. dozens, even hundreds of fishing boats pulled up along the shore, and we had no idea what it was about. Worked with my missionary contact, who's been in the country for 15 years now. We later on found out that these boats only get put out during a particular fishing season. What we also found out is that the good news is, spiritually speaking, in southern Chile, it's always fishing season, because these people are just wide open to receive the gospel. I passed out gospel tracts everywhere that we went, and I didn't experience rejection even one time. Not only was there no rejection, there was no defensiveness, no aggression, no arguments, just a people surprised and amazed that somebody would want to give them something for free simply because they were concerned about the condition of their soul. Of course, in southern Chile, they really don't know how to react to somebody walking up to them and giving them a tract that has the truth in it, because nobody's doing what I was doing in this picture. Just going up to a guy in the street right where he's at, trying to hand him a piece of the Bible and a piece of the truth, mind you, and trying to find out where he's going to spend eternity. It's a real tragedy that nobody's trying, because the Chileans just love to be approached and to take tracts, especially the kids. They're overjoyed to receive them. These kids here were from, of all places, the Colegio de Charles Darwin. That's the Charles Darwin school down on the Straits of Magellan. So, of course, I had to give them all Chick gospel tracts. And I ran out of gospel tracts, and we were going away. They were so overjoyed about getting the tracts that they crowded around us and wouldn't let us go, and they were clamoring and begging for more of the Word of God. It was a tremendous blessing to my soul, and man, I tell you, what a difference from trying to pass out tracts and witness in public here in the United States. Now, most Chileans will drop everything, they'll stop whatever they're doing and start reading a gospel tract if you give it to them. Or if you want to engage in conversation, they'll start talking about whatever you want to talk about for as long as you want to talk about it. In fact, my only hindrance while I was in the country dealing more effectively with the Chileans was that at the time, and to a certain extent right now, my Spanish really was not at the level that it needed to be at to deal with an individual soul one-on-one about their individual condition, especially given the great religious darkness in which these people dwell. The biggest obstacle one encounters in witnessing to a Chilean is that they feel that since they know what the Roman Church teaches about good works and religion and Mary and those things, that that's enough. You know, as long as you try to be a good person, that on Judgment Day, God's just going to work the whole thing out. And of course, what they need to be told is that Bible salvation consists of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not being told that right now, at least not right where they live. Now, everywhere that we went in Chile, we saw sheep. Millions and millions of sheep all over the country. And this here was outside the city of Punta Arenas. And these, obviously, are some of the four-footed kind. And they're not lost, either. They're safe in their master's pasture. That is, all except for this one little lamb, who somehow managed to go astray and get outside the fence. Now, if his shepherd doesn't come along soon and take him to safety, some wild beast that roams those plains will come along and tear him in pieces. Or some thief or hireling will come along and steal him and make merchandise of him. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. And he made it clear in Luke 15 that he would lay down that life if it was for only one sheep. And right now, tonight, my friends, in southern Chile, I tell you that there are millions of sheep for whom the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life and shed his blood. Sheep like Ivan here, a shopkeeper in Punta Arenas. And whether Ivan is in this city in South America, or if she's a bushman in the deepest, darkest part of Africa, or if she's a stockbroker on Wall Street, it makes no difference. Without somebody going to her and telling her what Jesus Christ has done for her, without her placing her full faith and trust in him, Yvonne will die, and she will go and burn in a devil's hell forever. The same fate that awaits Gladys here, another one of the sheep for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. Right now, spiritually speaking, in southern Chile, all Gladys has to look forward to are thieves and wolves and hirelings who would come along and take her soul and consign it to hell forever simply to make a religious dollar off of her. And it's not right. The Lord Jesus Christ died for Gladys just like he died for you and me, and he commanded us to go and tell her. As he commanded us to go and tell this man here, whose name I didn't even get. I gave him a gospel tract. I tried to talk to him. It didn't go too well because of the language. And folks, I want you to know that this picture, this slide, along with a verse in the Bible, represents the very heart and soul of our burden for the people in southern Chile. And it's found in Psalm 142 in verse 4, where David, in the midst of his affliction and after being abandoned by everyone, cries out to God and says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And wouldn't it be a tragedy, folks, to be at the great white throne judgment and see the lost dead stand before God, rightfully judged in their sins, about to be cast off into the lake of fire forever. And there might be people from southern Chile who could stand up and say, but Lord, no man cared for my soul. Nobody cared enough about me to come to me right where I was and tell me what Jesus Christ really did for me. Well, folks, by the grace of God and with your prayers, when our deputation is over in October, we will return to southern Chile and do everything that we can to make sure that that does not happen. By the grace of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll win these people to Christ in their own language, in their own culture, right where they're at. Those things will no longer be a problem. We'll disciple the believers. We'll plant Bible teaching, Bible preaching, soul-winning churches. We'll train up and pray for leaders. We'll start a Bible school. In short, we'll do everything and anything that the Lord Jesus Christ enables and allows us to do in taking the Great Commission to the uttermost part of the earth, even to southern Chile. For the Robinson family, and we ask that you pray for us. Thank you.
Any questions?
All right, if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I told the church this morning I really love questions, and if I know the answer, of course, I'll tell it to you, and if not, I'm just going to make one up anyway. Yes, ma'am. There is it's a remote possibility of actually getting into public school on a volunteer basis and teaching religion class. Religion classes aren't mandatory as part of public education there, and the parent has an option now as to whether or not the child is taught by a Roman Catholic theologian or by an evangelical. Of course, an evangelical being anything that's not Roman Catholic. The idea is that an ordained minister who has established a relationship in the country, with the country, can offer his services to teach classes. And while I would not be able to hold evangelistic crusades like Billy Graham in a school, it would be certainly a way to get the Word of God in there and possibly get literature out, maybe reach the parents that way. The statistic claims that 77% of the people practice Catholicism. Now, the reality of Latin America is that no matter what they claim to be, their mentality is thoroughly Roman Catholic. They've been Roman Catholic for 500 years, and it's going to be a long time before that's ever unseated, if ever. The Chilean nation, however, as a political entity, is a very modern, first world type of a nation. And so, being wanting to portray an image of being a modern westernized nation, they have what could be considered complete religious freedom. In other words, there are no restrictions on any denominations in the country of any kind. The Roman Catholic Church is no longer the established state religion. It is the primary religion because it's the religion of the people. It still holds the position of favor. It still gets the tax breaks, the land grants, and everything else that the government has to offer, but it is not officially an established religion. Every other religion is supposedly now on an equal basis. That's not the reality of the situation, but that's the law. And so, that's how it works. Yes? I haven't. No, it's going to be a while yet. I grew up in Miami, Florida, amongst the Latin Americans there. And so for the past 25 years or so, those have been my people. I've been living amongst them. And the Spanish I know, I picked up in the streets of Miami. And also in our home church, which church I've been with since its inception in 1997, which is a bilingual Spanish church. My pastor preaches and teaches in English, but it's immediately translated into Spanish. And over 80% of the congregation is Hispanic in one aspect or another. And so I picked up a lot of Spanish that way. And the good part about that is that it's been a Bible-based training. Just going to church and just sitting and listening and hearing the translation and then being amongst the people has helped a lot. So I have a good foundation to work with. However, the fluency that's going to be necessary to actually effectively preach and teach and most importantly reach these people's hearts and become a Chilean, that will take some time. Being immersed amongst the people will make it a lot easier, and the Chileans are very given to hospitality. Most people, when you're trying to learn their language, are, but the Chileans especially, they feel a need to take you under their wing and help you out as much as they can. So that'll be an open door in and of itself. My family and I, we plan to do some form of language training, either school or private tutorship in the home, whatever the Lord allows us to do, for at least a year. For the first year that we're there, we'll be focusing on that and getting to know the people and the culture at the same time. Language and culture are inextricably intertwined. How a people use their language is intertwined with their culture. And even in the difference between North and South Chile, it's like the difference between the North and the South here in the U.S., and people will use their language a different way. So our intention is, of course, to learn it the way that people in the South speak it, because those are the people God has sent us to. Also, Spanish really is the easiest language to learn in the world for an English speaker, so we have that advantage as well. going to a city about 3 hours north of that church. That's Brother Louis Long's church in the city of Cuecamon, which is about 3 hours south of Valdivia, where we will be starting. We will be going in at the ground level, yes. Now, Brother Long and his family are a big help to us. They have been all along the way. They've been very instrumental in us knowing where to go and seeing the country on our survey trip. And more helpful than I could begin to tell you. And we have a very good relationship. He intends to be as helpful as he can from a remote distance, from 3 hours away, while we're there. And so that'll be a good thing because he has lots of experience and lots of knowledge. But we will not, my family and I, we will not be working in their church in the classic sense. We'll be starting at the ground level. And of course, our intention is, more than anything else, is to see Chilean men one to Christ and going out and doing the same thing. Well, I'm not going there so much to try to be a pastor of a church or churches as to get some Chilean men one to Christ and train. But if the Lord puts us in an aspect of where we're just planting churches, we'll do that too. Whatever it is that we can do just to get the truth out of it. Yes, that's it. Again, folks, really appreciate it. Thank you very much.